Welcome to the Watermark Church Podcast.
Every single week of my series, I've done something fun, and we always open with some pictures of ladders. You guys want to see these? Yeah? I'm going to move this ladder so you guys can see a lot better. There's a few I'm going to show you that are brand new, and then there's a few, if you've missed the last few weeks, that have become pretty amazing. The 2x4 one, we have to show that one again, right? And so if you can go to the first one, this is one I just put up there. And I don't even know how high he's going. It doesn't even show the height of the ladder. But if you notice, there's a 2x4 holding up as a brake system, the golf cart that's holding up the ladder. That's pretty insane. Go to the next one. This one's pretty amazing. What I feel like they got right is the ladder holders. What they got wrong is two things. One, I'm pretty sure this is power lines. I don't know what it is they're resting against. But if you notice this gap here, that the ladder's not even on the ground. Is that amazing? Two guys are just holding this guy up. That's just sick. Next one. This is I showed last week, and I just said, it's pretty cool. We were talking about ladder holders. The guy doesn't even have a wall. He just has two people holding up his ladder. You can go to the next one. This is amazing. And when you don't have scaffolding, use people. And I think it's pretty awesome. This guy, how long does he have to stand like that is the question. Like, how long is he doing this? You go ahead and go to the next one. It doesn't mean scare me. I'm more amazed by this. Like, to think that through, just the way it is, it's pretty amazing that actually works. I mean, think about it. Go to the next one. This, I showed this last week because I talked about who's holding your ladder, and no one's holding these guys. There's two guys, and no one's holding the ladder. So go figure that one. Go to the next one. This is, that speaks for itself, right? Next one. This is one of my favorites of all time. Anybody else? This is your favorite one. Like this? I might even put this on my phone to remind me of the series of I still go back to these guys' conversation. Like, I need you. I'm not going to go up that ladder. I'll hold you here, and I'll push you up with a 2x4. Like that is amazing. This next one makes me laugh. I mean, I shouldn't say the word stupid, but that is pretty stupid. I mean, you think about all of a sudden you, but just to think about how much you have to be lined up with this, you have to be going the same speed. You literally have to be turning the same way. And if somebody falls off, this is bad news. It's pretty amazing, don't you think? Like, I don't know how far they went, but as soon as somebody hits a pothole or somebody goes too fast, someone's going to get pulled or dragged. So it's pretty amazing. I think that's it, right? That's it for pictures. Yeah. I'm going to jump into this because leadership is influence. And the ladder holding, is this whole thing is about influencing. So it's interesting because last week we spent a lot of time talking about, and I'm just going to park here for 1 minute just to catch everybody up who wasn't here last week. Last week, my friend up here, weightlifting guy, helped me. Ben held my ladder, and he was distracted with his cell phone. I said, you can have the strongest guy holding your ladder in church, but if he's on his cell phone distracted, it's not much of a help. Right, Ben? He helped me out. So it was awesome. One of the things I was sharing with that point is this. Be careful who you have who are holding your ladder. Now, listen, it's one thing to have friends you don't always agree with, but the problem we have is when you go looking for advice or trying to find somebody for advice and you go to people, now listen, I'm going to say this very out loud. Sometimes you deliberately go to people you know are going to give you wrong advice to justify your decisions. Stop going to those people. You need to find people in your life who are going to help you make godly right decisions, who are going to bring you to the next step in your spiritual journey. People are going to be honest. People are going to be, and so some of us are saying, well, I'm not feeling like I'm growing. I just want to say, who is supporting you? Who is lifting you up? Who is in your life who is making decisions? You want to have a healthy marriage, find people with healthy marriages. If you want to become an awesome father or mother, find people you look up to be an awesome parent. Where's Carol? Is Carol here? Downstairs. Carol's downstairs. Last week, I talked about find people in your life who you're going to be your ladder holders. And I think it's so awesome. Like, three people after church, I didn't ask Carol yet, but she's going to be my ladder holder. I'm like, that is awesome. I mean, Carol's going to be busy, but that's awesome. And I think about this because I think you want to find people in your life who are going to support you and lift, you know what I'm saying, to raise it up. So the question I had last week was, who's holding your ladder? Well, now we're going to flip it this week to say, whose ladder are you holding? Now, this is a totally different situation because you need the right people to be surrounded, but you also need to help people go to the next step. And it's interesting because people say to me all the time, well, how does that work? And I'll go through it, but can I just tell you the easiest way? You can't give what you don't have. I did a whole series a few years ago on the fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, kindness, self, you know, all the things. And I said, you can't bring peace or joy into a situation if you don't have peace and joy in your own life. You can't bring people to a place you've never been. And so the big question I have today is, whose ladder are you holding? And if you're pushing people to get to a point, you need to be there. All parents, listen up. I'm telling you, I feel like my spiritual foundation came not because my parents were saying, read your Bible, do this every single day. Not because of that. Because my parents were pillars of my ladder, not because they just told me to do my devotions, because I saw them pray and do their devotions every single day. As soon as I woke up, got ready, you know what I'm saying, had a big bowl of Fruit Loops, my mom and dad are doing their devotions and reading. And it said, listen, I started listening because they spent time with the Lord. And I have no secrets to raising kids. There's some kids who are prodigals, there's some kids who are not where they should be, and there's some kids, I don't know. I don't have some. All I know is this. You find the Lord for yourself. You seek the Lord. That's how it works. But all of us, there's stories of influence. There's stories in our life. I'm just gonna go through a few of these in scripture. Jethro mentored Moses. Think about this. Jethro mentored Moses. Moses mentored Joshua. And Joshua mentored the elders of Israel. They all held each other's ladders. And Joshua mentored the other remaining leaders of the army. Exodus 18, Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, was mentored him. Deuteronomy 31 and 34 is when Moses mentored Joshua. Then in Eli mentored Samuel. Think about this. Here's what's awesome. Eli mentored Samuel. Samuel mentored Saul and David. David became Israel's greatest king. David mentored his army of commanders and the government officials to establish United Nation of Israel. David also mentored Solomon. Solomon mentored Queen of Sheba, who returned to her people with wisdom to form the Proverbs that apply to God's law today. Think about this. Elijah mentored Elisha in 1 Kings and 2 Kings. Elisha was prepared for his prophetic ministry through a close relationship with the prophet Elijah. And when Elijah was taken to heaven, his mantle of double portion went to Elisha. Daniel mentored King Nebuchadnezzar, who humbled himself before the Lord and changed the kingdom. Naomi was mentored to Ruth in Ruth 1-4. And the book of Ruth portrays Naomi as a mentor of Ruth. And then Mordecai mentored Esther, and Esther mentored King Xerxes. You catching this so far? Priscilla and Aquila mentored Apollos. Elizabeth mentored Mary in Luke 1. Luke tells us that Elizabeth, the mother of John the Baptist, mentored Mary after she learned that she was the mother of Jesus. And then Jesus mentored the 12 disciples. This is how it flows. Who established a church. The apostles mentored hundreds of other leaders, including Paul. Paul mentored Titus, Timothy, and many others. Barnabas is the one who actually mentored Paul and became a new Christian. Later, they sent out missionaries into Cyprus. The Apostle Paul became one of the greatest spiritual leaders, and he authored 14 books in the New Testament. Timothy mentored faithful men, which led to a chain reaction that resulted in dozens of new churches in the Asia area, which led to the church as we are today. Can I just tell you this? Even this building, which was started by my mentor, Calvin Olson, who mentored me, even though I knew nothing that he was here, he was my ladder holder to get me to the next level. And so it's interesting because all of our lives, we have stories of influence. We have people in our life who have shaped us and moved us and brought us to that next point. And so it's today I want us to look at who is doing this. So the ladder holding is supporting, it's mentoring. When Moses, hear me out on this, Moses, you can read this whole chapter, Moses took Joshua underneath his wings. Moses took them out of slavery, out of Egypt, and said, we're going to the promised land. And when those people circled around the same mountain for 40 years and never entered the promised land, he mentored a youth pastor named Joshua, who says, you need to lead the next generation into the promised land. And I'm going to tell you this, even though Moses got to see the promised land before he died, he never got to walk in the promised land. So hear me when I say this. Moses talked about the promised land and gave vision the promised land, but Joshua got to live in the promises. It's interesting because what God is saying, you can do even more. He's saying there is more out there. He's saying we need to lift up. And here's what I'm tired of. I was a former youth pastor, and this is one of the things I tell parents all the time and old people. People say, oh, those youth kids, they're just causing trouble. They're disrespectful. You know what the younger generation needs? Is godly people who will lift them up, who will pray for a new generation to arise and let revival break out in this nation. And so it's interesting because I really believe with all my heart, he's saying there is more out there that we need to send people out, and God is raising up Joshua's to go to the promised land, but we need Moses's in our life to bring us to that direction. And what we're saying it is, we need ladder holders, we need Moses's, we need Paul's to say, I want to help you get to a place that we need to go. My first sermon that I preached in January, when we started this year, one of the things I said is, one of our goals of this year as a church is to help people. Now listen, it's one thing to get your dreams accomplished. It's another thing to help somebody else get to their dreams. One of our goals of the church, I'm saying, needs to be to help people get to what God has called them to be. I would love our mantra to be in our hearts of saying, your potential is my mission. What God has called you to be is my mission. I want to help you become who God has called you to be. Amen? And so as we move forward, I just want us to say, so how does that look for us? So the challenge number one is this. Here's challenge number one. Be a good ladder holder. Are you a good ladder holder? Are you helping? So last week, when Ben came up here and we talked about being ladder holders and all that kind of stuff, we talked about distractions and being support. Here's what I said for me is good qualities of ladder holder. People in my life, I want to mentor me. Here's what it is. Number one, passionate for Jesus. If they're just bored in their faith and they just don't care, it's not going to rub off on me. Like, I just want people who are passionate for Jesus. Their character needs to be good. Now, I didn't say they need to be perfect, but they need to be, I want them to be who they are. Like, who you are in the dark. Like, who are you attentive? They need to be aware. They need to be faithful, not just to me. Listen, it's my job to connect with them, but they need to be faithful where they're at, where they're planted. And they need to be loyal where they're at. And these are the things I look for. So my thing is this. If I'm looking for these qualities of people, then I need to be these qualities for the people that I want to influence. Amen? This is, even for our staff and our team, this is who I want. These are people that I want to help people go to the next level. I want people who are like Moses, who are going to be reliable and going to encourage and going to lift up and say, these are the qualities that we need to be. So are you those things? Because I'm telling you, here's what's cool. My wife pointed this out to me because my wife actually should be the one preaching because she gives me all the stuff to preach on anyway, right? My wife said this past week, and I thought this was cool. If you have the right person, if you have the right person who is going to hold your ladder, this is what's going to happen. They're going to keep you accountable. Every step you take, they're going to be aware, and they're going to be saying, oh, you're leaning too much, you know what I'm saying, you're doing stuff, and they're going to actually give you confidence. Because, listen, if I have somebody down here hold my ladder, I have more confidence every step I take because I know I'm not just taking it by myself. It gives you confidence, and it makes you stable. You're not just going, you're not just making crazy decisions over here and over here and over here. Like, you're saying, I need to pray with somebody. I need to be with somebody. So be this to others. My challenge to you today is be this to others. Don't wait for others. Check this out. Don't wait for others to do this for you. Start doing this with other people. This is a tangent, and if you're taking notes, write this down. It might be on the screen, but I'm not sure. It says, be what you need. Be what you need. Because here's the truth about it. You attract who you are. Now, this is my little tangent. Some people are dating and dating different people, which is totally fine. But I'm going to tell you this. You attract who you are. When people come up to me, they say, oh, this, you know what I'm saying? All I ever get is the losers. I'm not saying you're a loser. I'm just saying. All I ever get is I get the rebellious types. That's all I ever get is the rebellious guys. All I ever get is this. And the unstable people, I get this. I'm telling you, most of the time, you attract who you are. Now, I know it sounds weird. My wife and I are not exactly the same. We have a lot of things. So when I say you attract who you are, I'm not saying like personality-wise everything, but I'm saying stability-wise a lot of times. If you want this for yourself, you be and you become what you need. You guys hear me on this? You become in your life what you need. I see this all the time in friends. Here's my little soapbox here. So are you guys ready for this? There's so many people that come up to me and saying, I just don't have a lot of friends. My friends just kind of here, there, just kind of like, I just don't have stable friends. So can I just, I'm not saying this is always true, because sometimes things change, but here's the truth I've learned in life. In order to have a friend, be a friend. If you want people to be loyal and faithful and awesome, you be a friend. And I'll say this. I think it's high time as a church we start being friends and stop looking for friends. We just start being friends. And I'm saying that you start being the person that you want to see in your life. You start being that person. You start being that friend. I think it's simple. It's interesting because when people say, I have no good friends, my response wants to be, now I don't always say it, but my response wants to be, are you a good friend? Well, no one sticks around. My question is, do you stick around? Well, no one ever listens to me. Well, usually when people say something like, no one ever listens to me, I think my question is, do you listen to people? Because great friends are great listeners. And some people just want to be heard. They don't even want to listen. And I'm telling you, I feel like sometimes more people find the Lord more through our listening than our talking. Are we good at listening? Are we good at these things? And this is what makes you a good letter. Are you lifting up? So when you lift up others, you are lifted up. And the more you help others, the more you lift it up. So my question is, are you a good influence? Do you care a lot? Do you encourage? Are you honest? Do you pay attention? Here's a big one. You guys ready for this? Are you not self-seeking? It means, we need to be unselfish. I heard this in a book a few years ago. It says, we are most valuable when we add the most value. Think about that. We are most valuable when we add the most value. One of the things I say almost every Sunday morning is saying, let's add value as a church. Let's add value, not just in the community, but within our families, within our friends. Let's add value to others. Let's add value to that. So that's challenge number one. Challenge number two is this. No one can ever do it alone. It's interesting. One of the most things that's most common in the New Testament is this phrase that says, one another's. It says, love one another. Serve one another. These one another's is common because they're saying not just the one, but another. He's saying the one another's. He's saying do it together. Even Jesus chose the 12 disciples because he says, we're not going to do this alone. We're going to do this as a group. And so he says, Jim Rohn, a leadership guy, says this. He said, my mentor said, let's go do it, not you go do it. How powerful is it when someone says, let's? He says, let's go do it together. Let's go do something. Bring people with you. My encouragement to you is if you're active in the community, if you're active serving at this church, from now on, invite somebody to serve with you. Don't do it alone. Like say like, hey, jump in a week with me. Let's serve together. Let's do life together. Let's do this together. There's a story about a couple horses, and some of you already heard this. It says, one of the largest, strongest horses in the world is the Belgian draft horse. Competitions are held to see which horse can pull the most, and one Belgian can pull 8,000 pounds. That's more than Ben can pull, huh? Right? Hey. True, right? Isn't that true? It's true. I make fun of him because he likes it. And he can beat me up. The weird thing is, if you put two Belgian horses together in a harness, who are even strangers, don't know each other, together they can pull between 20 and 24,000 pounds. Now, if you don't understand the math here, 8,000 plus 8,000 is 16,000. So they can do more together than separate. More. The acronym for team is team, everyone accomplishes more. We do it together. I'm telling you, we can do more in this city together than separate. We can do more as a ministry together than separate. So don't do it alone. Number three is this. Challenge number three, help make ladder climbers. Encourage others to step up. One of our goals is to turn ladder holders into ladder climbers. Some of you have been holding a ladder, which is really good, but sometimes we just need to step up. We need to climb up. Some questions asked about this is, what am I passionate about? What are my gifts and my talents? What type of service is God calling me to? What need am I aware of that I can help out with? What frustrates me? What makes me cry? What brings me joy? So the question is, how do we make ladder climbers? How do we equip? I really don't have tons of answers, but I will say this. We got to model, we got to mentor, and we got to equip. Everything. All of you who have business, you know this. You own your business, you know. You got to model what you want to see others do. You got to mentor them in that process, and you got to trust them and equip them to do what God has called them to do. Amen? God has called us to do the work. The Great Commission, there's not a plan B or F or Z or anything. This is plan A. You are part of the plan, and you are plan A to make disciples. The Great Commission is, you know what I'm saying, to go into all the world and make disciples. We are the plan. And for me, that's where the truth of the matter comes in, is saying, are we helping people make steps in their spiritual walk with the Lord? Number four is this. Challenge number four, we need you to hold ladders. The more people we lead, the more people we need. Isn't that the coolest phrase? You guys want to help me say this? Ready? One time. We're going to say this. The more people we lead, the more people we need. This is just it. Can I just tell you, 2 weeks ago in kids' church, we had over 60 kids. I'm just going to tell you some testimonies that I was like a little nervous about. I honestly thought in my heart, you can ask the staff, when we had to come over to this building, for the hub for the summer, here's what I thought. We're going to come to hub. Summer attendance always goes down, naturally. Every church, summer attendance goes down. But transition to a different church, I'm going, we might lose some people for a little bit. And just summer, it just happens. Can I just tell you, we've actually grown this summer being here. grown, and people are still gone for the summer. Like, it just happens. We're gone on weekends, something's happened, and different things, and we're going back in the fall. We've grown through the summer, and now we're going back to the school. And so what I'm telling you is the team that we had when we came over here is an awesome team, but we need more to lead of that. Is that making sense? We just need more to lead. It's interesting because we need more people like Moses that are going to hold ladders. We need you. And I think here's what I, when I was praying about this past week, is Lori in here? Where's Lori? Is she in here? There's Lori. Lori is awesome. Her, like 3 or 4 years ago, Lori, Mike, and Josh came to church here. Lori came on a Sunday morning. I'm not going to share what church she came from, but they decided to look for a different church, and they came to a Watermark church. In doing so, I asked Lori, and at that time, we were in desperate need. Literally, we had, like, our launch team, we had 20 college-age students, and we launched in March, and in May, they all decided to go home. So we had a church that lost 20 volunteers like that, 15 to 20 volunteers, and then Hoffman showed up, and I was like, "Ah!" And I won't ever forget asking Lori the question when she started coming to church. I said, "What have you done?" She goes, "Oh, I helped out with kids in my old church." And I said, "Oh, did you do that quite a bit? Was it how many years? 3 years?" I said, "How often? Every Sunday." "Is it every Sunday?" "Every Sunday." I said, "Huh." I said, "For how long?" "3 years." I said, "How many sermons did you listen to?" "Zero." "Not many." Because they had nobody to help out, so she was in kids ministry for 3 years and not in a church service. Check this out. We made a vow as a leadership team that we don't want anybody to burn out by serving the church. Now, a couple of things. I just want you to understand this. When I get back to the school, I'm going to talk about priorities. I'm going to share this. But I want you to know from me as your pastor, number one priority in my life is my relationship with Jesus Christ. Number two is my relationship with my wife. Because my kids need to understand that my main thing is my main squeeze, all right? They will fall in love with, you know what I'm saying? They need to understand, but they need to, and then it goes to my kids, and I hate to tell you, then it's you all, the church. Now listen, I will never sacrifice my family on the altar of church. Because if my family health is not good because of my actions with the church, I will step out. Because I'm not healthy to lead. Is that making sense? I just want you to know, I'm going to make that public. This is my priority wheel. Also, if you serve in our church, we made it a priority that we don't want anybody to be burnt out. We want to encourage people in ministry taking steps. Now, what I hear about is people who come from different serving, and I don't even, doesn't even know matter what church it is, you're like Lori, and all you do is serve, and once you sign up for, you know what I'm saying? Once you sign up to do kids ministry, like you teach a Sunday school, you're there for like 10 years. You're like, "I'm in a nursery every single week," or "I'm doing this," or "I'm doing this every single week." I'll tell you what, Stacy, you know, Ben, Brianna, and everybody, if you're on a schedule, we try to make it once a month. And the reason that is because you still need to be spiritually healthy and growing, and the people you lead will be better if you're healthy and growing. Amen? The reason I say this is I believe there's lots of people that in your past that you are taking steps and you're serving and you're giving and you're doing a lot of places and you're doing this someplace else, but because of the pain and the hurt and the burnout you went through, you have stepped back and you said, "I'm not going to go there for a while. I need to be healed." But can I tell you this? I'm telling you, encouraging you, it's time to step up. Because you can be here for a while, but God is saying part of your healing process is getting back on the ladder again to do what God has called you to do. And I think what's happened is just because you are uncertain, don't let uncertainty kill us. Other people in here, can I tell you this? Over the years, you've learned things that you shouldn't be learning. Like you know what I'm saying? Some things are not even true. Sometimes it's harder to unlearn than learn. Is this true? Like, you got to unlearn some things that are just junk in your head. So we got to unlearn these things. So next step is this. Challenge number five is this. Take the step. Before I go there, I want to say I skipped over something. I want to hit, I know it's on the overhead. And it says this. You will either be a momentum breaker, taker, or maker. You will either be a momentum breaker, and if someone's going this way, can I just tell you this? I've had people who've had dreams, and they want to do something big, and they go to a momentum breaker, and this is what a conversation is. That's a little bit too big for you. You're dreaming a little bit too crazy, and all of a sudden, they just snuff out that fire. My mentor, Scott Wilson, he's like one of my favorite people in the world. He's from Dallas, big church. He has, before his staff meet, he meets, because the staff are kind of like reality checkers, and Scott's like, everybody's a number one, everybody's awesome. He wants to hire everybody on staff. He is just like, you're the best, you're awesome. And so his problem is he just loves everybody too much and gives everybody an A+ every time. So his staff is good because it reels him back. But the problem is when he has dreams and visions and his staff is like, I don't know if we should do that, he gets irritated because he wants to dream more. So he got his interns, listen to this is funny, to come into his office once a month. And this is what his rule is. He says, whatever I say, it's awesome, okay? Cheer me on. Whatever I say, it's the best thing you've ever heard. He just says, that's who it is. Because he goes, I know it's not, but when you got encouragement and love, it just builds up and more ideas start coming. So he's preaching at these guys and they're like, yeah, it's awesome, you're the best. And they might not use any idea, but listen, we need supporters. We need people who, when there's an idea that's saying, oh, I've already done that before, it doesn't work. Dude, that mentality needs to get out the window. We need people who are gonna say, that might work. Let's try this, this might. We need people who are gonna help us. Challenge number five is this. I can get the worship team up here. Take a next step. Everybody in this room has a next step, every single person. And I'm gonna be honest, here's what we're gonna do. Ooh, I'm glad that didn't fall over. Joel, you might bring that one up here, on the side here. We need to take a next step. We intentionally do things in our church so you do take a next step. For instance, in a few more weeks, life groups are kicking off. In September, life groups are gonna kick off, and we have about 8 life groups, even more so in our church. And some of you have been in a back burner, like, I wanna start a life group, or I wanna be part of a life group. Just be in a community of people. Alpha was awesome. Listen, we're going to do Alpha after the holidays again. We're going to do Alpha in January and February again. But we're going to do life groups through the fall. And we just want people to jump in. Just build a community with people. You know what I'm saying? Do life with people. Do spiritual life with people and jump into a life group. Gave Marissa to lead that. But maybe you're in this room. Check this out. Maybe you're in this room and you're thinking, I don't know if I kind of want to do ladies' Bible study, but I'm not sure. Can I just tell you, if it's something spiritually good, and you're thinking about it, just do it. Maybe you're right here on a fence and you're saying, when you announced that healing, hitting mission trip, I was like, I want to do that someday. Can I tell you? February might be your someday. Your next step, the things you've been waiting for, may be just a few months away. It may be just acknowledging this is something I got to do. Some of you, I'm saying taking a mission trip is one thing. Maybe some of you, your next step is going to be like, I haven't given money. I haven't tithed at all. Maybe that's my next step. Some of you, the most important one, maybe it's giving my heart to the Lord for the first time. Maybe some of you in this room are saying, I believe in the youth students. I want to be a youth leader. Maybe I can do that. Or maybe I can just serve the youth. Maybe I can do something. I don't know what I can do, but I can do something. Maybe some of you are saying, I want to pray more. I want to be part of a prayer team. I want to do more of that. It's interesting because we look through all these things, and I put one of these. I want everybody to grab this. I put one on every single chair in this room. This morning before everybody got here, here's what I did. I walked around this whole room, and I prayed for every single seat, and I put one of these down on every single seat. Just laid my hands on every seat, and I just prayed over every single one of you. And I said, everybody who sits in these seats today is at a point where God is saying, now is the time to take a next step.